you deserve. I'm tired of seeing this team go out and address other areas that they don't need. The Andrew Kastner deal, okay, I'll give them some type of leeway, a little bit. You got yourself a bona fide number five starter. I get it. But my goodness, how long are you going to continue to honestly lie to yourself that you think that this bullpen is going to be good enough for the stretch run, dare I say, if you were to make it to October? This isn't 2018 anymore. Wake up. Wake up. It's clear. 99 games into the season, this team is exactly who they are. Enough with the fantasy. Enough with the mirage. Enough is enough already. I'm not mad because over the fact that they lost last night. That's not why I'm mad or annoyed. The reason why I am annoyed right now is because you see rumors, you see stories like what Nesson.com just published a couple of days ago, and you're like, what about what they actually need? And you're still stuck on stupid in the process. I'm telling you, I am telling you right now, if they don't fix their biggest weakness, this team is not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere if they don't fix it and figure out a way as to how they're going to make this team better, because this team is not far off. But if you honestly think for one moment that they are going to absolutely come back to win the division, that may be out of the question. But even the wild card, where you got Cleveland, that is, frankly, they're better than you right now. I mean, being completely honest with you, Oakland, if you were to play Oakland in a one-game playoff, I got Oakland beating you, hands down. If you honestly think that you're going to leapfrog teams like Tampa Bay, who is two games ahead of you, Oakland, or even Cleveland, you're in for a rude awakening. The fantasy's over. Smell the roses. Good morning. Smell the coffee, if you will. This is Shukri Rates, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. When we return, we're going to talk a little Boston Celtics. And there was something interesting that took place that actually got my attention during the press conference in which that they introduced Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. I'm going to tell you what it is when we return in just a bit. This is the Shukri Rights Show, and this is Shukri Rights, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Reform Radio.
.180/111, and I had a stroke. When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
.145/92, and then I had a heart attack.
.182/100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
.150/90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
.180/110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
This is Dan Dennett, and you are tuned into WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM. Tufts Educational Radio.
I'll be walking down. girl goes. That's always when I want you most. I can't remember where I am. Been staring at the clock again. And I don't want to burn it down, because if I knew you won't come. You most. I can't remember where I am. Been staring at the clock again. And I don't want to burn it down. Because if I do, you won't come around. In my dreams, every night you will take me by surprise. Like a drug I abused, I want to, but I have.
Good morning, everybody, and this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Thank you for making us part of your day. It's a lovely Saturday morning. It's going to be a hot one today as a good old heat wave makes its grand entrance. You know, these are the type of days that I absolutely enjoy. I don't know about you, but I love hot weather. But I know a lot of people who are like very anti-heat, don't like summer, which I just don't understand. Like it's just the perfect time to be out. But I get because, well, it's going to be 100 degrees. So I just kind of want to stay out the sun. Like, I actually kind of want to be in the sun a little bit. Just got to, you know, stay cool, stay hydrated. You know, wherever you guys are going to the beach or even if you're out this morning for a morning run or doing whatever this morning, stay cool, stay hydrated, because it's going to be an absolute wicked scorcher today. I'll tell you that for a fact. Now we're going to talk a little Celtics. And, you know, this week at the new Auerbach Center that opened up a year ago, the practice facility for the Boston Celtics, they introduced two of the newest Celtics in Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. Now, the one thing that I really enjoyed about this this introductory press conference in particular was that right off the bat you could see that there seemed to be a difference in terms of how Walker carries himself, his persona. And one of the things that I really thoroughly enjoyed is in this Conter, he has some kind of humor. Some kind of ability to connect with the people and connect with those around him, his teammates, you know, and everywhere that he's been, like he's been absolutely loved and respected, you know, and that's something that after what the Celtics have just went through this past season, they need a breath of fresh air badly. Badly. But there was something that Conter said that absolutely stood out to me, in which I couldn't help. I absolutely just couldn't help myself. And I admit, I thought it was clever. It's fun. It was funny. But my goodness, you want to talk about a way to kind of dig at public enemy number one right now in Boston sports? That was the way to do it. So, in the process of Conter being introduced by the Boston Celtics to the Boston media, Enes Kanter said, quote, and this is quoting out of courtesy the Boston Globe. The story was written by Adam Himmelsbach from 2 days ago, from Thursday. He said, quote, Conter said, quote, in terms of why he decided that he was going to wear number 11, he said, it was my old jersey number, by the way, number 11. And I want to be the reason nobody else will wear it. He paused and smiled. I had to say it. You gotta absolutely love that. I mean, it wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't rude. It wasn't snide. I mean, but a former Celtic, now Brooklyn Net, might think it may have been otherwise. I'm telling you, that was perfect. But you know something? All kidding aside, though, I really do believe that Enes Kanter is going to make a much bigger impact than what a lot of people are saying that he will be. And the thing that stood out to me about watching Enes Kanter, especially when he was a New York Knick in particular, was that when he was a New York Knick in 2017-18, this goes to speak of the impact that he had. He helped the Knicks have the number 5 ranking offensive rebounding team in the NBA. What does that tell you? What does that mean? Enes Kanter is a phenomenal offensive rebounder. But there's more. There's actually more I want to delve into. Because this really speaks volumes as to one of the facets of the Celtics that they really were lacking last season, the ability to get the offensive rebounds. You know? And that to me was interesting. And there's something that Danny Ainge just said on Wednesday that really caught my eye. To some, it may not seem like a big deal, but pay particular attention. And this was courtesy of an article that was written by Taylor Snow of Celtics.com. Ainge said, quote, he's an active athletic player. He's just another big body for us with some things that we need to fine tune. In our front court, I think he's going to have that chance. I really do think that, in particular, Enes Kanter is going to absolutely be critical in terms of getting the offensive rebounds, getting the second chance opportunity to put the ball in the basket. Something that the Celtics was severely lacking this past season. And I'll talk about Kemba Walker in just a moment. I will. But if you want to talk about a guy who you're bringing in which that, number one, his ability to rebound and get the offensive rebound, can he score? Yeah. And mind you, he's played against the Celtics before. He averaged nearly 13 points a game. There's not much of a wow factor, but I can't help but think that, you know, for a guy who not necessarily most known for his offensive prowess, but there is no question in my mind that Kanter is going to make this team better in terms of the rebounding effort. No doubt in my mind about it. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And then also, as in regards to Kemba Walker, the thing I find interesting about him is that we know that he's an all-star. We all know that like he's actually one of the better. He's actually one of the better point guards in the league and so forth. And mind you, he comes here a year after he set career highs in points per game, rebounds, assists. He averaged 25.6 points per game, nearly 26 a game, nearly six assists, 4.4 rebounds, and so forth. But the thing I like about him is that, yes, he's not as good as Kyrie. I get that. However, what you need out of your point guard, and especially what you need after everything that Kyrie put you through as an organization, is a guy who brings respect and, dare I say, credibility. And not that the Celtics lacked credibility last season, but his ability to lead by example and to teach is going to absolutely come up huge. And then on top of that, this is a guy who played in all 82 regular season games last season. And it was only two players in the NBA who did that, and the other one was Bradley Beal. And actually, I'm actually gonna dive into that a little bit more than that. He's only one of two players in the NBA to have averaged 25 points, 5 assists while playing all 82 games. That should tell you something. And what does it tell me? It tells me that, number one, he's durable. Two, that he is a scorer. He can score. And there's no question in my mind that he will. I really believe it. I genuinely believe it. That, you know, after the career year that he had last season, he's going to get better. He's going to make this team offensively better. There's no question in my mind about that. Are the Celtics done? I don't think so. I get that they re-signed Daniel Theis and Brad Wanamaker. I get that. But I don't think they're done. But I do think that the Celtics, they're still that one move away that I've talked about from being that team in which can contend for an NBA title. Because right now, there are maybe seven to ten teams, and I've said this before on this show, And I've said it before on this, on these airwaves, that right now there are 7 to 10 teams that you can make a legitimate argument for as being championship contending teams for this upcoming season, 2019-2020 NBA season. Celtics are just below that threshold. If they make the right move, I don't see why not. I don't see why not. But it's going to be really fascinating to watch. And I will admit, to watch him, how he gels with Jason Tatum, how he gels with Jaylen Brown. I'm really intrigued as to how this team will gel post Kyrie and the chemistry that they build and that they will bond together. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And there are some things, and looking at this team now, that I want to see them get better at. I want to see them make a more conservative effort driving to the basket. Not just settle for jump shots. You know? And I do, although Kemba Walker is a scorer, I mean he's a pretty decent mid-range 3-point shooter. I honestly think that this is a team that absolutely could benefit from becoming more aggressive, driving in the paint. And as I mentioned earlier in this segment, in this contest, getting the offensive rebounds. I'm telling you, those second chance opportunities to score are going to be huge. Especially now that Kyrie is gone. It's going to be even more important. Amazingly enough, one thing about last year's team, yes, you know what you had with Kyrie. You know that. You know what you had in Kyrie. I don't think it's going to be possible to replace Kyrie's offensive talents with this team, on this team. I just don't. But I do know this. I think this team will play a better brand of Celtics team basketball. I want to emphasize again, they are going to play a better brand of Celtics team basketball this upcoming season. No question. And a lot of it will have to do with the players that they bring in and the culture that they're going to have to reestablish here in Boston. Coming up next, there is something that two players that played in Boston, one of them still plays in Boston, the other one doesn't. There's something that those two men have in common. We're going to talk about it. Coming up after this break, this is Sugar Rights, and you are listening to the Sugar Rights Show on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And we will be back in just a bit.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby, and whenever I'm in Boston, I listen to WMFO 91.5 on your radio dial.
Hey, this is Chris from Strike the Box. I'm on every other Thursdays from noon to 2 p.m. here on WMFO in Medford. The show is 2 hours of free-form music, where I play just about anything and everything. And like a lot of other DJs on WMFO, I take requests. So if you want to hear it, and if I can find it, I'll put it on the air for you and on the internet. Whatever it is. How many other radio stations will do that for you, huh?
love it so much.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun.
Oh yeah. If you enjoy new and vintage punk, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, psychedelic, surf, and rockabilly, you'll want to tune into the Desperate Hours with Alex every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on WMFO Medford.
We pride ourselves on the high moral standards of our program, and I mean that sincerely. We don't resort to sex or crime or violence or drinking on the program.
It's great music from the has-beens, should-have-beens, woulda-couldas, and never-weres. From the 1950s all the way up through to the present day.
Yes.
Connect with Alex and the Desperate Hours on Facebook and listen on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Only here on Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and on the web at WMFO.org.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Welcome back to the Shukri Writes Show. This is Shukri Writes, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Thank you for tuning in on this Saturday morning. And thank you for listening wherever you may be. If you're just waking up this morning, we have already discussed a lot. We talked about in the first hour a lot of Red Sox talk. We began the hour actually talking about Enes Kanter and Kemba Walker beginning the Celtics tenure with an introductory press conference at the Auerbach practice facility over in Brighton. And, you know, it's not often that the opportunity presents itself where you have two, or should I say had, but yeah, you have two players who are superstars. One of them is a star, but the other one is a bona fide star where you can make legitimate comparison on. I actually thought about that. And I actually thought about it immensely this week. But how many people realize that David Price and Kyrie Irving absolutely have something in common. I wanted to purposely do that pause for a moment because I really don't know how many people would have honestly thought about this. And this was something that after this whole thing of David Price and Dennis Accursi story resurfacing from 2 years ago, the incident in which we talked about and during the first hour of the show, the one thing that I couldn't help but really think of was, my God, you know what he really sounds like? Minus the whole narcissist attitude? Kyrie. Minus the confrontation on the airplane. But this is absolutely Kyrie Irving-esque. I can't help it. Allow me to explain. Look, we know that David Price chose to sign with the Red Sox as a free agent. Kyrie, on the other hand, was traded here. Funny enough, the trade happened 2 years ago this month. So, one had a choice. The other one, kind of, but not really. One, when you look at David Price and his behavior from his first season, and you look at Kyrie, listen, the first year that Kyrie was here, remember the whole talk about, well, I believe that the earth is flat, and I believe that you know, I'm just going to be this mercurial guy who's going to be a little off-centered, weird, and just had this really weird vibe to him. Okay. Cool. You're not the first or the last NBA superstar to have had such a weird persona to them. I'm sure Dennis Rodman, to a lot of 90s folks like myself, comes to mind. I'm pretty sure of that. So, when I look at David Price, he doesn't come across as a weird guy. You know, he doesn't. He's very, I'm just going to go home and just play a little Fortnite on my PS2 or PlayStation, whatever game console is available. You know, and I want to play with my dog, Astro. You know, I think this city just absolutely, it just sucks. Everybody's up my tush. Just leave me alone. Like, the absolute consummate complainer. Kyrie wasn't that in his first year. You didn't really see a whole lot of that. But my question now to you, the fan, at what point did it all begin to shift and balance themselves out where Price, his behavior and his antics began to mirror Kyrie Irving's? You can call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. 2018 was where things began to really get bizarre. And I look at David Price because entering last season, he hasn't, at that point, hadn't won a playoff game, hadn't done diddly squat in October, and let's be honest, let's be completely honest, His performance against the Cleveland Indians in 2016 didn't help matters. His performance against the Houston Astros in 2017 didn't help matters. Before last year, he hadn't done anything in the playoffs. So entering 2018, after a very difficult 2017 and dealing with the media and the scrutiny here in Boston, he absolutely decides, you know, I'm just going to come into spring training and just have this attitude where it's like, you know what? I have my guys back. I'm going to be the consummate teammate. Kyrie, on the other hand, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? It really began as a legitimate question. Is he going to stay or is he going to go? And this whole thing of talking to the season ticket holders, the fans, before the season started, actually, shortly after the season started, and just saying, you know, I intend to resign here next season, you know. And I can't help but just think to myself, you know, interesting. David Price was asked in 2018, following the World Series win, was he going to stay or was he going to opt out of his deal? He opted in. Kudos. Kyrie? I'm going to resign. And then the 2018-19 season unfolded. Here comes the drama. Here comes everything you did not want to have happen. These youngins, they don't understand what it takes to win in this league. You know, these guys are absolutely, they're clueless. You know, it's about what I can do for this team. What I, me. You know, this whole talk of absolute self-inflating ego that Kyrie has. You see, the problem with Kyrie and David Price is that they both have egos. And if you're going to be a superstar that's going to get paid a lot of money, you better make sure that you have some type of ego. Some are more apparent than others. Don't fool yourself. If you are one of the best at your position and your craft, you have some type of ego. Kyrie's came out later than what people would have thought. Price, you could say came out day one. Almost. I'm gonna be fair. It didn't come out immediately, but I can't help but think to myself, when that whole 2017 season unfolded, and in the manner in which it did, and at the height of which the whole controversy between himself and Dennis Eckersley, color analyst and baseball Hall of Famer who works for Nesson, that whole conversation took place and people just wanted him gone. I myself included, because, you know, he's not built to win in the big market where the expectations of a championship is so high and is absolutely demanded by the fan base. I'll give him that. I'll give him the fact that he silenced his critics. But he hasn't changed. He hadn't changed. Kyrie, on the other hand, he dragged out his whole thing. Past January into the new year. So what do David Price and Kyrie Irving have in common? They lack character. They lack character. They both are self-proclaimed, absolutely Boston media loathing, sexless individuals who, by the way, when it mattered most, once upon a time, couldn't do anything. And here's the thing that adds insult to injury. Remember the whole thing when Kyrie was like, well, the regular season is absolutely over, is overrated. Come talk to me in the playoffs. That's what it's all about. At the time, you're like, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll give you that. But even then, you better show up. And in that series against Milwaukee, what does he do? Completely gives in. He gives in. He gives up on his teammates. He knew he was gone. Let's be honest. When you are invested into something and you are committed, you don't quit. And that's what we saw. And the biggest thing that I especially with the events that took place this entire week with David Price in particular, and I'm going back and forth between Kyrie Irving and David Price here, that it just showed that even with having the proverbial Trump card, he hasn't changed. You can't do what you do and completely crap the bed in the manner in which you did last night. By the way, in case if you haven't realized, Price started last night against the Orioles and got absolutely shelled. Dare I say, he got his behind handed to him. 6 runs in 4 innings to a team that's literally feeding on crumbs in the AL East. So how is it that you create this drama by your actions? Because ultimately, how it all started was you being an absolute sackless crap and confronting another adult who happens to be older than you. And instead of dealing with the matter like an adult, you absolutely decide that it was going to be okay to ambush him. So lack of character is one thing that absolutely that Kyrie Irving and David Price lack, that they both have in common. I'm going to point out another factor here that they both have in common. Price? Huh. What can I say about Price that wouldn't offend him, quote unquote, since he has skin that is thinner than loose leaf paper? He has no thick skin. None. Zero. They're both about themselves. I'm sorry. Excuse the whole thing of, well, he's supposed to be the ultimate teammate. The problem that I have with that is this. I look at men like Mariano Rivera, for example, who's about to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame tomorrow, as a matter of fact, as being the consummate professional, class, for him to have accomplished what he accomplished in the most difficult and largest media market in the world. That is New York. And to still have the aplomb in which he did, that in itself is the epitome of what having character in class is about. I haven't seen that from David Price, and I sure did not see that from Kyrie, because a person that has dignity in class absolutely shows up and supports his teammates in a game 7 of an Eastern Conference final, not worrying about some darn nose job for a movie that you're filming, or whatever the excuse is. I don't care. That boils down to character. And the lack of heart, it was appalling to watch. And I find it absolutely amusing that Price and Irving, those two men, are the example of what you don't want in an athlete playing in this city. Self-absorbed, classless, gutless, and absolutely child men. They're both man childs. So yes, I'm calling out David Price. And yes, my tirade against Kyrie Irving continues. Because right now, they are both on top of the pyramid. As the two athletes, one used to play here, one still plays here currently. But what you don't want. Men, and I do say men, because they both act like little boys. They both act like little boys who don't know what to do when they finally land a hot date. You don't want men who don't know how to come to the forefront and perform when it matters most. You don't want players who don't want to be here. You want players. And that's another thing that both Price and Kyrie Irving have in common. They both don't want to be here. So my thing is, why suddenly now that he decided he wants to act up again? After allegedly Alex Cora, he had an interview on WEEI earlier this week. Supposedly told the host, I spoke to David Price, it's done. And then you absolutely pants him essentially by going to talk to the media about the very thing you talked about. Not that you told him not to talk about. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Self-absorbed. Selfish. Classless. Sackless. Those are the things that those two men have in common. Amazing how your action speaks louder than words. And at the end of the day, your words don't mean a thing if your actions are contradicting what you're saying. When we return after this break, we're actually going to talk a little about the Patriots because, in case if you haven't realized, training camp starts this week. NFL training camp starts this week. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I am absolutely excited. I cannot wait. We're going to talk about that. Plus my opening thoughts on the 2019 New England Patriots. That's all coming up next. This is Shukri Wright, and this is the Shukri Wright Show, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Touch Free Form Radio, and we'll be right back.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to